This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. We continue with our series of lectures on the Aqidah, the creed of the Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to believe what is right, to show us what is right. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna at-tiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinaba. O Allah, we ask you to show us the truth as truth and enable us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and enable us to stay away from it. The next item after we spoke about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Sahaba. It is his companions. It is one of the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he created for the help of his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He created in order to support, and in order to learn from, and in order to emulate, and in order to teach the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an entire generation. These are the people who we know as the Sahaba, or the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The definition of a Sahabi, as I may have mentioned before, is somebody who accepted Islam during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. He may have accepted it directly at the hand of Rasulullah ﷺ, or from somebody else, from one of the Sahaba, and he or she remained Muslim and died a Muslim. And during this period, they either saw Rasulullah ﷺ, or if they were blind, because there were many Sahaba who were blind, they spent time in the company of Rasulullah. There is no specific number that is given that a person should have spent 1 hour, 1 year, 10 years, 10 minutes. That is not given. Anybody who accepted Islam during the life of Rasulullah, who saw him, who spent time in his company, is considered to be a, and who died as a Muslim. I mean, the key thing is that. If a person accepted Islam and then went out of Islam, there were a few people like that, not too many, about, you know, maybe 5-6 people. But if they left Islam, then obviously they are not considered to be Sahaba. And those who knew the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who saw him, who spent time in his company, but who did not accept his message, like, for example, and even those who loved him, I mean, this is not necessary that such people were always people who hated him, because there were people, but the most poignant and the most classic example of somebody who loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than he loved his own children was Abu Talib, his uncle. But Abu Talib did not accept the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as we say in Urdu, Rasul ko manna or Rasul ki manna, ye do alag cheeze hain. رسول کو ماننا بھی ضروری ہے اور رسول کی ماننا بھی ضروری ہے, یعنی رسول کی بات کو, رسول کی اطاعت کرنا اور رسول کی بات کو, رسول کے احکام کو ماننا, یہ بھی ضروری ہے, اور رسول کو رسول ماننا بھی ضروری ہے. یہ دونوں ساتھ میں ہونا ضروری ہے. اگر ایک کرے گا اور ایک نہیں کرے گا تو پھر اس سے وہ مسلمان نہیں ہوگا, کیونکہ رسول کی بات, جیسے آپ کہیں کہ بھائی رسول کی بات اگر مان رہا ہے تو پھر رسول کو مان رہا, نہیں, لازم نہیں ہے, کیونکہ رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی کئی باتیں سب کے لیے اچھی ہیں. تو ایک عام بات آدمی مانتا ہے بھائی, اور اتفاقاً یہ بات رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے بھی کی ہے, وہ اس کا ٹھیک ہے, انہوں نے بھی کیا ہے, انہوں نے بھی یہ بات کہی, اچھی بات ہے, مگر میں تو اس لیے نہیں کر رہا ہوں کہ انہوں نے کہا, میں تو کر رہا ہوں کہ بھائی اچھی چیز ہے. تو یہ اس سے آدمی مسلمان نہیں ہوتا. ٹو ٹرانسلیٹ دس, to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to obey him, these are two things which must go hand in hand for a person to be Muslim. If a person believes in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam but he does not believe in his message, then this person cannot be a Muslim. He may love the Prophet ﷺ, but he did not believe in the message, this person is not a Muslim. Even if a person believes in the Prophet ﷺ, for example, if a person says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he has accepted Islam, but then he does not pray, because the Rasulullah ﷺ told us that the thing which differentiates between the Muslim and the non-Muslim is the prayer. He said, Ala hadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah. فَمَنْ أَرَضَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He said the ahad, the dividing line, the differentiator, the boundary between us and them, meaning between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, is salah, is the prayer. فَمَنْ أَرَضَهَا, the one who left it, has left Islam, has committed kufr, it's an act of disbelief. So therefore, if somebody, even if he believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he does not obey him, then this person is not a Muslim. Similarly, a person may do what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended, because there are many things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended which just make good sense. For example, take having a business which is zero interest. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. And there are non-Muslim companies which operate on this principle of zero interest and no bank borrowings. Right? Now, one of the most spoken about examples is Microsoft. Zero interest and zero bank borrowings. One of them also was or used to be until a long time while Dhirubhai Ambani was alive, was Reliance in India. Now, the point is that it is very important for us to understand and remember this, that Infosys is another one which I have quoted many times. So it is the issue is that a person may be following a principle of Islam that does not make him a Muslim, right? A Muslim is one who believes in the creed of the Muslims and then follows the principles of Islam. So we need both of these together. So for a Sahabi to be a Sahabi, somebody who believed in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, became Muslim, spent time in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw him. As I said, seeing is not a condition, because if a person was blind, they were blind. Spending time, there is no specific time period that is given. And even if somebody accepted Islam and they were there, they were around, they may not have actually sat in a majlis of Rasulullah, we would still consider them to be the Sahaba, as long as they lived by Islam and died on Islam. So if they left Islam, then this would cancel out. Now, so therefore, now this generation of Sahaba, one of the fundamental beliefs, which is part of our Aqidah, is that this generation, we consider, we meaning the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Sunni Muslims, we consider all of them to be truthful, which is called Thiqa, which is they are completely truthful and trustworthy. We believe all of them to have been, to be people who did not go against Islam, who did not lie about Rasulullah, who did not tell lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who did not do any of these kinds of things. So we believe, as Muslims, we believe that the Sahaba were all people who were thika, who were truthful, and they were trustworthy. We do not criticize any of them. We absolutely do not abuse any of them. We don't say abusive things or disrespectful things. We do not show disrespect for the Sahaba, for the companions of Allah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not show disrespect to them in any way whatsoever, either by word or by implication. On the contrary, every time we take the name of a Sahabi, Sahabi is singular, Sahaba is plural, and the female form of Sahaba or Sahabi, Sahabi is male singular, Sahaba is a male plural, female singular is Sahabiya, and plural, female plural is Sahabiyat. So this is the, just for those who are, you know, interested in the Arabic terminology for this. Now, when you take the name, when we mention the name of a Sahabi, it is part of our akhlaq. Now, this is not creed, this is not part of the creed, but it is definitely part of the akhlaq, part of our manners, part of the part of our culture that we do not just take the name by itself. We say after the name, we say radiyallahu anhu, which means Allah was pleased with him. If it's a lady, then we say radiyallahu anha, Allah was pleased with her. If it is two, meaning so-and-so, son of so-and-so, and these two, both of them were Muslim, or if it is just two people, two Muslim, two Sahaba, we are talking about, for example, we say Abu Bakr and Umar, so there are two, they are not related to each other, they are two Sahaba, and they are, both of them are Sahaba, both of them are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say Abu, if we say Abu Bakr alone, we say Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. His daughter, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha, we say Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha. If we have Abu Bakr and Umar, for example, then we say Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma. So this is two. You have Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu was Abdullah. So we say Abdullah ibn Umar. Now Abdullah is a Muslim, Umar is a Muslim. So we say Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Now if we have a whole lot of Sahaba, and if you don't want to say radiyallahu anhu after each one of them, the option is you say it, you take the names of all of them together, and then at the end of that you say radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, or radiyallahu anhum. Ajma'in is not necessary, you can say ajma'in means all of them, but radiyallahu anhum also means all of them. So you say Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman wa Ali wa Talha wa Zubayr wa Khadija wa Umma Salama wa Aisha radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So Allah was pleased with all of them. Now this radiyallahu anhum, Allah is pleased, or Allah was pleased with them, is specific to the Sahaba. It is specific to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, I cannot say my father radiyallahu anhu, because we have no evidence of this. Radiyallahu anhu means Allah was pleased with them. Now the evidence of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with the Sahaba is the Quran itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in so many words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-sabiquna al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansari wal-ladina taba'uhum bi ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radwan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the muhajirin, the Sahaba who migrated and who left Makkah for Medina to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wal ansar, the Sahaba in Medina who gave solace and succor and support to the migrants, and those who followed them bil ihsan, and those who followed them to the best of their ability in excellence until the day of judgment, Allah kept his door open, and may Allah include us among them, and may we follow the Sahaba so that we are included with them. Radiallahu anhu wa radwan. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Therefore, for the Sahaba, we say radiallahu anhu. For anyone who is a non-Sahabi, somebody who was not from that companions, not from that blessed first generation, not from the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we use the term rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah's mercy be on that person. So if it is my father, your father, whoever, the term to say is not radiyallahu anhu, the term to say is rahmatullah alayh, may Allah be pleased with that person. So I just want to make this clear, because people make, when we speak, we make all these mistakes. We simply take the name of the Sahabi as if, you know, this Sahabi is your classmate or school friend or something. It is not. It is a sign of gross ignorance and a sign of gross disrespect for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to simply take their name without saying radiyallahu anhu, radiyallahu anha, or radiyallahu anhuma, or radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. It is obligatory, it is important, it is very, very, it's a sign of a person being a Muslim, being educated, being well-mannered, to do this. And if you don't do that, then all of these are doubtful, right? Obviously, you will still be a Muslim. If you simply say Abu Bakr or Umar or Ali or Uthman or whatever without saying radhiyallahu anhu, you don't exit Islam. You are still a Muslim, but you are an ignorant Muslim. You are somebody who, you know, people will say, well, what kind of person is this? He has no manners, right? You are an ignorant Muslim and you are a mannerless Muslim. I don't think we would like to be called like that, called by those names. So this is very, very important. Now we believe also that the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, all of them, are the mothers of the believers, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in so many words in Suratul Ahzab in the Quran. Anyone who believes that any of the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, one or more, is not a mother of the believer, anyone who abuses or criticizes a wife of Rasulullah ﷺ has left Islam, because that person has denied the ayat of the Quran. We honor all the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ equally, because it is not our job to differentiate between them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ, his wives are your mothers. He did not say his wives except this one or that one. He did not say among his wives, this one has a higher status, that one has a lower status. This is not our job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said his wives are your mothers, and therefore, as far as we are concerned, every wife of Rasulullah ﷺ is our mother, and we honor her as we would honor our mothers or more, because the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are more worthy of honor than our own mothers. So this is a very important thing that I want to mention to you, because this is again a means of misguidance, where some people take it upon themselves to pick and choose and to criticize those about whom the best option is to keep our mouth shut. Similarly, we honor the members of the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people are called Ahlul Bayt, and we honor all of them equally. Who are the Ahlul Bayt? They are all the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, because the ayat of Suratul Ahzab, in which the Ahlul Bayt are mentioned, are specifically addressed to the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayat begins with Ya Nisa'un Nabi, O women of the Prophet ﷺ, which means O wives of the Prophet ﷺ, and therefore, and then the rest of them. So all his wives, all his children, all his daughters, all his sons, all his grandchildren, and others who he included, which includes, for example, Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, it includes the children of the family of Al-Abbas and so on. All of these radiallahu anhu, all of these are included in the Ahlul Bayt. As far as we, meaning the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, are concerned, we honor all of them equally. We do not select from this group some of them to honor them as Ahlul Bayt, and then we reject and we do not reject others by saying that they are not actually the daughters, which is what some people do. They say the other daughters, except for Fatima radiallahu anha, they say the other daughters were actually not the daughters of Rasulullah. First of all, there is no historic evidence about this. Secondly, there were other children of Khadija radiallahu anha who were from her previous marriage, which are in history. They are specifically named and they are specifically indicated. So there is no confusion. As far as the daughters of Rasulullah is are concerned, it is our belief, and historically this is correct, that all of them are the daughters of Khadija and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah himself said that they are his daughters. So now, if I say so and so is my child, who is anyone else to dispute this? So if somebody else says saying, no, no, but you see, even though he said that, maybe he was being polite, but actually they were not his daughters. And this person is exceeding their position, and they are speaking about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without knowledge and without respect. So stay far away from all such things. So all his daughters, his sons, his grandchildren, all his wives and whoever else he included as the as in his Ahlul Bayt, as the people of his household, we include the same people and we honor all of them equally. We do not select some out of them to honor more than others. As far as the Sahaba are concerned, we consider the Sahaba to be superior to every believer who came after them, without exception, because this is part of our Aqidah, our creed. Out of the Sahaba, we specially honor the Khulafa al-Rashida, because they were honored by Rasulullah SAW. And these Khulafa al-Rashida are, commonly we talk about four, but we sometimes talk about five. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. But usually when we say Khulafa al-Rashida, we mean Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We mean these people. So, and Rasulullah specifically mentioned the Khulafa al-Rashida, and he specifically mentioned Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. So we honor them, and out of all of them we consider Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to be the best of them, because this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So please understand, when we say Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the best, we are not making that statement. We are not differentiating between Sahaba. We are not raising one over the other. We are only saying what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now this is fine. This is not just fine. This should be done. But on our own, if we invent and we say, no, but I think so-and-so is superior to so-and-so, then this is something which is not permissible and not something that we should do. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the closest friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, if I had to take a Khalil, if I had to say that somebody is my dearest and closest friend, Al-Khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my Khalil. And he said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me his Khalil, therefore I do not take anybody. The other thing also, in this last speech that he made before he passed away, on the night of Thursday, he passed away the following Monday, he said, I have settled the debts of everybody in my life except the debt that I owe to Abu Bakr, and that will be settled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu has a very, very special and a very high status in Islam. Now, another thing, we love the companions, we love the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we do not go to excess in our love for any one individual among them, nor do we disown any of them. We hate anyone who hates them, or who criticizes them, or who abuses them and does not speak well of them, and we only speak well of them. Love of them is part of Islam, love of them is part of belief, and love of them is excellent behavior and akhlaq, while hatred of the Sahaba is kufr, it is unbelief, it is hypocrisy, and it is rebelliousness, it is fisq and fujur. We bear witness that the ten of them were named by Rasulullah ﷺ, and these were promised Jannah by him, and that they will be in Jannah. This is part of our belief. These are called the Asharum Mubashara. These are the 10 who were given the Bashara of Jannah in their lives. There were many more who also had got Bashara of Jannah directly or indirectly by the words of Rasulullah ﷺ, but these 10 he named specifically. And who are they? The first of them is Abu Bakr. The next is Umar, third is Uthman, fourth is Ali, fifth is Talha, sixth is Zubair, then there is Sa'ad, then there is Sa'id, then there is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and there is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us with them when we meet him, Jalla Jalaluhu. We come with this From here we go to the next part of the Aqeedah, which is Iman in the last day and the life after death. The last day, by last day we mean the day of judgment. And then the life after that, which is an eternal life. Now, belief in the last day encompasses and includes believing in all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated concerning it. We believe whatever we have been told without asking how. This is, as I mentioned to you on the first lesson of Aqeedah, it is our belief that we believe in the ghaib, in al-ghaib, in the unperceivable, without asking how. This that is not because it is blind belief, it is because we believe that this message and this information about al-ghaib has been communicated to us directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we believe through His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who we believe, and therefore our belief is with knowledge, it is not without knowledge. Believing that we will be resurrected on the day of judgment and will be called to account by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is part of our belief in the last day. Believing what will happen after death, which is the trial of the grave, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that, the punishment of the grave and its blessings, we ask Allah to protect us from the punishment and grant us the blessings. The day of judgment, including the trials and hardships on that day, we ask Allah to save us from them. The bridge, the Sirat, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our feet firm on the Sirat and to enable us to cross the Sirat in His protection behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The balance, that is the Bizan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds and to forgive our bad deeds. The accounting and distribution of the books of deeds, which is the record of each person's life, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the accounting and to enable and to order and decree that the book of deeds is given to us in our right hand. For some it will be given in their left hand or behind their back. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we get the book of deeds in our right hand. All of this is included in the belief in the last day. It also includes belief in the fountain, in Al-Hawd Al-Kawthar, the fountain of Rasulullah ﷺ, the drinking place, the water of which, if you drink it once, then you never feel thirsty again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that we get the water of Al-Hawd Al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to whom the Hawd Al-Kawthar has been given and he is the owner of the Hawd. It also includes the belief in the last day, also includes belief in Jannah and Jahannam. It includes and we believe in Jannah, we ask Allah for Jannah, we believe in Jahannam, we ask Allah for protection from Jahannam. And in Jannah, we ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus, which is the highest level of Jannah, because this is what Rasulullah ﷺ taught us to ask. We also believe in the Ru'yat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will see Him and Rasulullah ﷺ, they asked Him, how can we see Him when there will be so many of us? He said, you will see Him like you see the full moon, or you can see the sun. This is how you will see your Rabb. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will have this blessed vision and be able to see our Rabb, the one we worship without seeing. We ask Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, to make us among those who will see Him and know that the one we worship without seeing is the Haqq. And we also believe in His speaking to the believers and other aspects and events as revealed in the Quran and in the Ahadith, in the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Included in this is to believe that one day we will all die and be resurrected to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. This is one of the fundamental foundational beliefs of Islam. And without this belief, a person is not a Muslim. So it is extremely, extremely important for us to remember this and to ensure that we do not do anything in our lives which contradicts or goes against this belief, because this is the whole beauty of Aqeedah, that it is important because this is a fundamental condition of Iman. Aqeedah is the condition of Iman. Without Aqeedah, you have no Iman. And no amount of good deeds and so on will help, because the person then is doing all those based on a false creed or based on a false belief, and therefore those are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to believe in what is correct, to believe in the haqq, and to remain on the haqq and to die on the haqq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, forgive our sins, and to grant us Jannatul Firdaus without hisab. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الرحيم.